Are you happy to be here tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we have with us also Stephanie and Leslie. Would you just both stand up? Hallelujah. Nice to have you in the church. Just stand up for a second. Come on. Put your hands together. Thank the Lord for them. Amen. Welcome. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tonight is a very short word. And I did not know how to entitle the message. And I was not sure, but I thought a good title would be God's Plan for Those Who Have Failed. God's Plan for Those Who Have Failed. It's a message of hope. Sometimes as believers, you look at your life and you think that you've messed up somewhere, that you have sinned, that you did not fulfill God's plan over your life, that you have failed Him in some area of your life, and you begin to have this strange thought. I did not know about you, but you begin to have this thought in your heart: does God still love me? Now, will I have to put up with God's second plan for my life because I didn't measure up to His first plan, or measure up to the way that I was supposed to walk, or measure up to the way that I was supposed to live? And because I failed Him in certain areas of my life, will I have to be satisfied with God's second plan if He's got any? Or just do I hang around with God's people and just hope that something good happens in my life and I'll be grateful for any good thing that happens in my life? Now, for you to think that way, it is perfectly logical. It is right within your understanding, and there is nothing wrong with that thinking. But what is important is, time and again, you need to look at any situation that you're facing in life from God's word. So in the Bible it says, God created, in the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, it says God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 45 says that anything that God created was perfect. It was excellent, it was beautiful. God had a master plan. He created the heavens and the earth. But when you study scripture, you know that one of the angels, Lucifer, fell from God's grace, became Satan, fell onto the earth, made the earth dark, void, empty. But what did God do? The Bible says in Genesis 1 and verse 2, the earth was formless, dark and void, but the Spirit of God was still moving over the face of the earth. Amen. And God spoke His word. God said, let there be light. And you will find in the book of Genesis, nearly seven times, the earth or the heavens or the light or whatever God created after the fall of Satan onto the earth, God looked at it and He said, it is good. So what am I trying to say tonight? What I'm trying to say tonight is, if you will still surround your life in God's word, still God is able to bring something marvelous, something good into your life, and you won't have to put up with a secondary plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many of you know that when God created man, God told Adam and Eve, listen, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But somehow they failed God. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you remember, they didn't go looking for God, but God came looking for them. You remember that? God came looking for them. Now, was it in the plan of God that they should have eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? No. Did they fail God? Yes. But what did God do? He killed an innocent animal, took the blood or the skin of that animal, the blood-soaked skin, and covered that nakedness, and continued speaking with the man or the woman that God had created. Now let me ask you something. Is it because that man fell that Jesus had to die on the cross? Was it God's secondary plan? How many of you are with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? Was it God's secondary plan or God's second plan that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary? Or was it at the heart of God originally? Now you cannot use your reason and logic and find out, but when you look at scripture, you find that Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth. It was not God's secondary plan. That was God's best plan for the man who had fallen. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory unto the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But we get confused. We get confused. Sometimes people come to me as a pastor. I face people who come to me and say, Pastor, I failed. I've fallen. Now do I? Sometimes you can almost hear what is going on in their mind. It is like you can actually feel what is going on in their heart. They begin to have this thought, now that I failed God, now that I fell, I didn't walk the way that I was supposed to, somehow nothing good is ever going to happen in my life. Somehow the devil is going to attack me right about everywhere. And the plans of God will not be fulfilled. I have good news for you tonight, based on God's word, that is a lie from the pit of hell. And tonight that lie stands broken over your life. You are set free by the truth of God's word tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God in His great love and in His great wisdom made provision for man. God made provision for your failure. But it's not a license for you to fail. But that is the freedom for you to say, Father, I thank you for your love. You know my frame. You know my mind. You know my nature. You know everything about my life. And I thank you that your plans are the best that you have for me. I give you glory for that. Praise the Lord. Oh, somebody needs to give a better shout to Jesus tonight. Amen. See, Peter failed God. But that is, in a way, God preparing Peter to be a great leader. Can you believe that? See, this message will only help you if you believe that, because some of you are believing a lie that God's plan cannot be fulfilled over your lives. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. You remember in the Gospel of Matthew, the 20th chapter? The owner of the vineyard looked for workers. In the third hour, he called somebody to come and work. The sixth hour, he called again. And the Bible says, even in the 11th hour, he called people. The 11th hour means nearly 90% of your life is wasted. Nearly 90% of your life is wasted. These guys are standing outside very calmly. They were idle, the Bible says. 90%. But when the reward came, the guy who started from the third hour, the sixth hour, and the guy who came in the 11th hour, all received the same blessing and the same reward. There is a blessing that comes to you because you have a loving Father in heaven. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have fallen 1,000 times, you can rise up 1,001 times. Because He will accept you back. He will take you back. He will draw you still close. Hallelujah. And He will still fulfill His plan in you and through you. Praise the Lord. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter, the younger son, the prodigal one, isn't it strange? He sold everything that he had. I mean, he squandered away everything that he had, fooled around in his life. He comes back to the father. The father rushes to him, holds him close, and gives him the best robe. Amen. Gives him the best ring, the best shoes. But so many believers, every time they end up in the pigsty, they have this confusion. Will the father accept me back? Can I go back to my father's house? Will the plans of God still prevail over my life? Will he take me back? Will he use me again for his glory? And then somehow they believe a lie of the devil and sit with the pigs instead of coming back into the father's house. But tonight you can come back into the father's house. Jesus died for you. The arms of the father are stretched out for you. He will receive you back. I do not know for whom I'm preaching this message tonight, but somebody needs this word tonight. Somebody needs this word tonight. Somebody needs this word tonight. Praise the Lord. I like this word in, I like that illustration where it says he came back to his father's house or came back to the father. Because when you study God's word in the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, verse 18. Jesus, before his crucifixion, he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you. I will not leave you. I didn't hear you. I will not leave you orphans. You know who an orphan is, don't you? Somebody who does not have a father and a mother. Sometimes their uncle or auntie or somebody is looking after them, or they are an orphanage. It is said that when you study on orphans, most of the orphans that you look at, people who feel they have no one, are very insecure people. Because they have never received. They might have received love and care from the orphanage and from uncle or auntie or somebody near to them. But it's not the same as a father or mother's love. So when they are an orphan, they feel as if nobody loves them. They feel so insecure. It is said that those kind of people are mostly very defensive. They tend to be introverted. They get discouraged very easily. They get very possessive in love, in relationships. If they get married to somebody, they will want that person only to love them and nobody else. Jesus said to the disciples, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you orphans. Amen. Hallelujah. Spiritually speaking, anybody who does not have a father is an orphan. And when you look at the world, anybody who does not know the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is an orphan. You will find they're insecure, they're defensive, they're ready to fight, they're ready to argue, they're trying to handle their lives by their own strength. And if they begin to fail or fall, they think they have to measure up in life. And if they are fallen, they never think they can get up again. They can never face life again. But tonight the word is a healing balm for your soul. You are not alone. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You and me, we have a Father in heaven. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, most religions did not know God as Father. But isn't it amazing? Jesus taught his disciples and he said, listen, when you pray, say, Abba, Father. Ah, Father. And yet there I see so many people in the church who are behaving like orphans. They're insecure. They're caught up in their own world. Possessive, always fighting. As a matter of fact, tending to get anxious and worried very easily. It is said that most people love money because they are insecure. They think the more money they have, the more secure they will be. Now, I believe in a God who prospers us, but the love of money definitely is the root of all evil. Amen. God wants you to know that no money can give you security. Only the love of the Father in heaven, the love of Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord tonight. I want you to have this open heart where even though you have failed many a time, once again you can come back into the Father's house, taste the love of the Father, once again be secure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I like this word in John chapter 1 verse 18. Somebody read that for me. John chapter 1 verse 18. The Gospel of John, the first chapter, verse 18. Yes, brother, come on, fast.
No one has seen God.
No one has seen God.
At any time.
Ah.
The only begotten Son.
Yes.
Who is in the bosom of the Father.
Yes.
He has declared him.
Amen. I like that. Jesus is saying, no one has seen God, but only the one who has been with the Father. And speaking about himself, he has revealed the Father. Are you with me? If I were to ask you to draw... See, did you girls get to see an elephant in Mysore? Did you got to see an elephant? That's good. Just imagine somebody from the Western world who have never seen an elephant. Now we have computers, we have TV, all that. So they've seen elephants. They, you know, but just imagine somebody from the Western, they've never seen an elephant. And you ask them to draw an image of an elephant. Can you draw the image of an elephant? I mean, they might have seen a lion, they might have seen a deer, they might have seen a lot of things, but if they have never ever seen an elephant, and somebody's expecting them to, you know, draw the picture of an elephant, I'm sure they wouldn't get it right. At least they will miss that part of that long trunk. See, most of the religions are trying to draw the picture of God. They don't know him as the Father. So some religion, even in Christianity, even I've seen in Christian religion, not in a relationship with Jesus, but in religion, people have this distorted picture about the Father. Some see him as a punishment. You do one wrong somewhere, I'm going to catch you and lock you up. So they don't have this holy reverence for the Father in heaven, but there's this fear. Oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh, oh gosh. There is no happiness on their face. There is no peace in their heart. There is no fellowship that they have with somebody else in the Lord. They're so tied down, so bound because of this fear. There's a policeman in heaven watching me. He's not a policeman in heaven watching you to judge you and to put you into prison. It's not like the Kerala police waiting behind some bend over there with a speedometer to see whether you're over speeding. And I assume you don't drink while you drive. See, many religions have this picture of God as a tough guy who is waiting there to actually judge you and put you into prison. And they capitalize on that. They capitalize on the fear that brings, that comes on the hearts of people. Whether it be because of people's weakness, the guilt that they have, because of the guilt they have, they'll say, I'll give more money to this religion. I'll give more money to this God. I'll give more money. Somehow I've got to please him, you know. I'm failing him so many times. I'm feeling so guilty. I'm not walking right. I'm so scared. Maybe I'll write a check and sow something there, give something there. No. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our God, our Father in heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is not like that. He doesn't want anything from you. He is interested in you. You are the apple of his eye. He loves you, not your money. He needs you. Oh, come on. Rabbana Rabbaki Siyarando. Judah Ramana Diaso. cares about you. He needs you. He doesn't want your money. Well, thank you, Pastor, for saying that I brought some money to put into the church. Whew, hallelujah. I can go and have a nice dosha with that now. Please go eat dosha. But before you go, experience the love of God the Father. Are you with me? The Church of Jesus Christ doesn't want anything from you. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. Don't you see? Your Father takes care of them. They neither sow nor reap. But look at the birds of the air. Have you ever looked out, saw the birds? I mean, how many times in your 18 years or 19 years, or if you're like me, like 25 years, have you seen a dead bird on the street? And you go and look, it died of starvation. Didn't find anything to eat. You find that? You don't. Why? The Bible says why? Because your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father feeds them. They are not anxious and worried. People who are anxious and worried become very irritable. When I'm anxious and worried, I become very irritable. I'm a tough guy to handle. When you're anxious and worried, you get back or hit back at people. Because you think the whole world is against you. Everybody's against me. Oh gosh, nobody understands me. Everybody's against me. You know why? Because you are not seeing the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are feeling like an orphan. You are thinking of yourself as a failure. You think you can never get up and come back into the Father's house. But tonight, let the lie of the enemy be broken. The lie of religion be broken. May the truth of God's word set you free. You have a Father in heaven who loves you. Amen. Praise the Lord. So people who have failed, don't think you're out of God's plan. He still loves you. He cares for you. He wants to pick you up. He wants to show you off. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, people who sense the love of God, and by the time the message is through tonight, your hearts will be open to the love of God again. You know, you walk through the street, you find a dog barking. Maybe it is behind a gate. Maybe it's in a cage. Maybe it's tied. Maybe it's just on the other side of the road. It's barking. How many of you will go and argue with that dog? No. Why are you barking at me? Come on. You're not going to fight with that dog because it's barking at you. You know, people who are insecure, people who feel like orphans, people who feel like failures, they think they have to fight for everything. So even if somebody is accusing them, slandering them, saying something bad about them, you know, they want to speak back. I want to prove myself. You know, I want to do this. Don't. Just walk on. Just walk on. Let the dogs keep barking. Just walk on. You have a Father in heaven. He loves you. Be secure in His love. Don't try to defend yourself. Just walk on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Jesus. That's what He did. Somebody said to Jesus, you know, you're casting out the devil by the power of the Beelzebub. Some said, you know, I mean, the religious people were so, I mean, they were so much accusing Jesus. You will find Jesus was so secure. He didn't say, oh my God, after all that I did, look at what the people are saying. He just walked on. He was so secure in His Father's love. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Love, when you're secure in it. As leaders in the church, you need to be secure in God's love. As believers, you need to be secure in God's love. If you are secure in the love of God, you can rebuke somebody. Jesus would rebuke somebody. He wouldn't say, oh my God, looks like they're going to get offended. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 12, he whom the Lord loves, He rebukes or corrects. Let me ask you, have you ever been corrected? Have you ever been rebuked? Have you any time felt a rebuke from the Lord? Has a man of God ever corrected you? if he has, then you are on the right path. You are in the right path because it's a sign that God loves you. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, Jesus, fill me with your love. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus rebuked Peter. Because Jesus had plans about this guy. He would rebuke him. Come on, Peter. Get thou behind me. Say, Peter. I mean, can you imagine that? If I were to do that to somebody, I will say, we're leaving church. We got a nice church just across the street, where the pastor is much more nicer and gentler. Tata, bye-bye. The blessing of God be with you. You know, Jesus, when he looked in Jerusalem, the Bible says in Luke 9, he looked over the city and he wept. Are you with me? Then what did he do? He went into that city, went into the temple, took a whip and began to hit everybody who was doing wrong there. First he wept, then he whipped. That is love. Praise the Lord. Are you with me? Anytime I have to whip somebody, I go first cry. You learn from Jesus. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, we are looking for a sentimental kind of love, the romantic kind of. Yeah, listen. We are looking for that kind of music and that kind of love. Praise the Lord. When God is wanting to really show forth this affection, to deal with your heart, to change you, to bless you, to prosper you, to strengthen you, to rebuild you, hallelujah, to make you what he wants to make you, so that he can be, you can be a useful vessel for his kingdom. Praise the Lord. If you understand that, say amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. One more scripture, Matthew 5. It says that Jesus said, my Father gives the rain and the sun to both the good and the evil. How many of you ever got up every morning and said, thank you, sun, for shining yesterday. Thank you for showing up today. You haven't done that, have you? When the rain falls on the good and the evil. And the Bible says in Matthew 5, my Father, Jesus said, my Father does that for you. We've never thanked the Son. Thank you for showing up today, this morning. Wow, thank you. I really appreciate it. Wow. Our life would have been so dark if you didn't show up. Thank you. You don't say that, do you? You take it for granted. Are you with me? Does the Son want anything back? For the tube light and the electricity here, they want something back. The electricity board. But the Son, if the Son was to say, okay, the Son doesn't want anything back. The rain doesn't want anything back. They're just giving. That's the heart of the Father. Are you with me? Whether you have appreciated in the past or not, he just wants to give. He just wants to pour forth. He just wants to give you. Whether you've been good or bad, he loves you. Praise the Lord. It's the love of God that changes us. Who is changed by foes and by, you know, I mean, we've all gone to school and we've all got nice beatings from our teachers. Now these kids these days don't even get a beating. I should have gone and studied now. I hated studying because my teachers would hit me. But how many of us changed because of that? It's because those teachers couldn't change you that the Lord brought you here and gave me the hard work. Hallelujah. Remember this one thing. I close with this. He is not
He does not want you to be orphans. No matter what has happened over your life, no matter what you have gone through, the Father loves you. He's got place for you in His arms, in His heart. He wants you to come. Are you with me? Relate with Him. Open your heart to Him. Feel His love upon your life. That's what Christianity is all about. A loving relationship with the Father in heaven through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I do not know for whom tonight this message is. No matter how many times, how many million times you have failed, no matter what kind of weakness you carry, He loves you. He's accepted you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes in prayer this morning.